Okay, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have Neil Adams on as our guest. Just to let you know, Neil, we got another one coming up in about three or four more minutes. So
okay.
Just so you're prepared. But yeah, you got cut off there with the last one. Did you want to pick up where you...
Yeah, I mean, if you say to people, during the ages of the dinosaurs, there was nothing to stop dinosaurs from getting from one place to another. No mountain ranges. That would stop for a minute. And they'd say, well, surely there were old mountain ranges. You say, no, there were no real mountain ranges. I mean, there was land that's old that became mountain ranges, but essentially the Himalayas didn't exist, the Alps didn't exist, the Rocky Mountains didn't exist, the Appalachians sort of existed, they were kind of growing up, the Andes didn't exist, the mountain ranges of today didn't exist. There were no places for dinosaurs to climb mountains. There was no reason. The temperature of the Earth was subtropical from pole to pole. Dinosaur bones are dug up on Antarctica today. Every year there's expeditions going out to Antarctica digging up dinosaur bones. They found a duck-billed platypus bone in Antarctica, in lower South America. The thing that's so incredible about all this is that it presents a clear picture of exactly what that those times were. If you were to say, for example, that two-thirds of the continental plates were covered by shallow seas, just as a quick example, two-thirds of the continental plates were covered by shallow seas, if there were deep oceans, that would mean that seven-eighths of the surface of the Earth, including the oceans and the shallow seas, was covered with water. But now, only two-thirds is covered with water. That would mean that in order to cover that, what was covered, presumably there were oceans back in the age of the dinosaurs, that would mean that the oceans would have to be a half mile deeper than they are today. Mm. Where did that water go? I mean, if somebody's presenting geological and physical theory, you have to sit there and go, where did that half mile of water disappear to? I mean, it didn't go in a cave underneath the earth. What you're saying is, here you're presenting this fact, and then you're presenting this fact, and then somebody who understands logic is sitting there going, okay, I accept this fact, and I accept this fact. Now, where is all that water? Here's another one that falls into the same category. If two-thirds of the land, okay, the continental plate, was covered with water, okay, and the rest of the earth, the rest of the oceans of the earth were also covered with water, presumably that was salt water, right? So if those oceans were salt water and the water on the land was salt water, because it would have to, you know, you go from the Gulf of Mexico up through the middle of America, all that water was connected. It's all shallower and deeper oceans, so it's all salt water, okay? More than twice the number of freshwater fish families exist today than exist as saltwater families of fish. But if Earth was seven-eighths covered with salt water, that would be impossible. You're trying to drive a nail into a rock by describing these things to people. You say, well, why are there so many freshwater fish, so many freshwater families of fish, not freshwater fish, freshwater families of fish, if seven-eighths of the earth was covered with, one, salt water, and two, there were no mountains to bring fresh water down from the mountains? Then it was all salt water. And how do we have freshwater fish? And we know we have freshwater fish. What's the lie? There is not only that. If you were to go to the deep oceans, you know those deeper oceans? There's far less than half of the fish families exist in the deep oceans than exist in the upper oceans. So that means that the deeper oceans have only existed in the last 60 to 70 million years. There were no deep oceans.
Right.
And there's no proof of it. There's not a dime of proof anywhere on Earth. And I'm going.
Just as I promised, we got another short break. Stick with us, folks. Be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Okay, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio with our guest Neil Adams talking about the growing earth. You know, I wanted to have you delve into, unless there's something else you wanted to finish first, but to delve into, you know, what you propose the mechanism is for the earth growing. And then I want to talk about some of the other bodies in the solar system, because I think that really clinches it. If anybody has any doubt about the legitimacy of this position, when you look at the other bodies in the solar system, the evidence for it is just overwhelming. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the thing about the mechanism is it's a little boring. I got to tell you, it's one of the reasons why you can't do animation on it. But I'll kind of give it to you philosophically. We have a universe filled with matter. Okay. Now, if you believe in miracles and if you believe in magic, then you can sort of go, well, it all just sort of came into existence, poof, if you do that. And that's good. You know, I don't have any conversation with anybody who does that because, it's just if you believe in magic, fine, poof, it exists. So I have to say, and I started this investigation out saying, well, it had to be made. I mean, the question is, did it get made all at once, like in the Big Bang, or did it get made slowly over a period of time, you know? You got an empty universe and some process happens, we don't know what it is, and then you get one, and then you get another, and then you get another, and you get another, and then you have the universe that we have today. The question that you have to ask then is, who turned off the off switch? Because if matter was made over a period of time, over the period of time that it takes to get us here, then presumably it's still happening, unless somebody went and turned off the off switch. So The process that made the matter, logically, is still going on. So you have to say, well, what would that be? I mean, what do you make matter out of? Well, Einstein says something very interesting, and now I'm going to get boring a little bit. He says E equals mc squared. He says energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. But essentially, without doing the math, if you just break that down, what he means is that mass or matter is just another form of energy.
Constantly
moving real
energy,
fast.
Yeah.
So essentially that's what that means, okay? So if mass is energy, rather
than... And you
can
convert interchangeably one back to the other.
Exactly. So if you don't pay attention to it, you could say, well, then my chair, how do you make my chair? Well, you don't make your chair. First, you have to go backward in time and say, how do you make the very first matter out of energy that can make, eventually will evolve into making your chair? So the history of science has taken us back pretty far. We went back to hydrogen, which is a very simple atom, and it didn't have a neutron. Then we went back to electrons, protons, and neutrons. So we have a pretty good idea that everything seems to be made out of three things. And possibly, you could say that maybe fewer things. Because the logic of science is that, yes, we like to find complicated things, but in reality what we find is that as you go further back, it's simpler and simpler and simpler. So I thought, well, is it possible that we have seen matter created and sort of like ignored it because we're busy, you know, looking for sophisticated stuff? In other words, is there a spontaneous creation of matter? Seems ridiculous. I mean, between you and me and the fence post, somebody said that, you kind of go, no, I mean, I don't see matter created. Well, the truth is that a guy named Carl David Anderson in 1932 observed the first creation of matter out of nothing, or seemingly out of nothing. It wasn't really out of nothing, because you can't make anything out of nothing. But you can certainly make something out of stuff you can't see. You can't see glass. Fish doesn't know that he's in water. He just sees another fish. He doesn't know that it's water. We can't see air easily unless there's stuff floating in it. So it's possible to say, well, you can make something that's matter out of something that's not matter, for example, energy. Huh. So here's Carl David Anderson in 1932, and he's making this thing, right, in his laboratory, and he wants to investigate cosmic rays. Because people say that cosmic rays come down from space, and what are they, and what's the whole thing? So what he does is he makes this big thing in his laboratory, and he sticks these meters on it, and if you step back from it, it kind of looks like a pig. And cosmic rays come into it, and he empties all the air out of it, and he puts in some noble gases, because if there's cosmic rays in there, you put a little argon in there, then the cosmic ray will make like a little trail through the argon. So he starts to investigate cosmic rays, and sure enough, he puts these little amounts of these gases in there, and these little cosmic rays make these little jet trails through it. And when you were in third and fourth grade, you saw a film on this, only you forget it because it didn't seem important. So you have these cosmic rays coming in from space. Now, cosmic rays are not exactly rays. They're sort of energy, you know, and sometimes electrons and sometimes positive ions, and they come in from space, and nobody knows where they come from. Presumably they come from stars or something. So they come in from space, and then he discovered something weird happened. It seemed like a photon from outer space would come into this thing and hit something invisible and break it into two things. And what the heck was that? Now, at first he didn't know that it broke into two things. First, he only saw one thing traveling off at an angle. And it turned out to be the opposite particle to an electron. The same size as an electron, which is very small. Electrons are very small compared to, say, protons and neutrons. They're about 1,800 and something times the size of an electron. Electron is very small, but it's one, you know, piece of negative energy. Now, when this happened, suddenly he got a positive electron, called it a positron. Made sense? Okay. The positron, within a nanosecond, would seek out an electron, and they'd annihilate together. Boom, gone. Holy cow.
suddenly, matter and antimatter, yeah.
Suddenly, in one experiment, matter is created and matter is destroyed.
You know, they're actually working on an antimatter bomb as we speak. Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah, that's always good to have that hanging over our heads. Just make everything
disappear. Let's give a two-year-old a gun to play with, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so he discovered that these positrons. Now, years later, other laboratories discovered that at the exact same instant that the positron was created, an electron was created. So then you have an electron and a positron. Well, that's sort of like taking nothing or zero and smacking it, and you get a minus one and a plus one. Oh, ooh. You hit zero, you get a minus one and a plus one. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if those two things, plus that neutral particle that you call a zero, could make a universe? In other words, if all you have is some kind of energy striking something that you would call a zero or nothing, and out of it you get a plus one and a minus one, could you make a universe out of that? Seems impossible. I tracked it down. And I don't know if it's right, but it seems to be right. If you take that positron, which is essentially the energy equivalent of a proton, and you can find a way to make that positron into a proton, then you can make a hydrogen atom. And if you can make a hydrogen atom, you can build a universe. So it's one small step to make that hydrogen atom. You have to turn that positron into a proton. So I investigated this.
Well, alchemy actually theoretically is quite tenable. It's not a fantasy.
It's tenable from the point of view of if you attach it by mixing stuff together in a bowl, you're not going to get anything. But if you mix science together, you suddenly can do all kinds of things because you can take atoms apart and put them together. The idea here is not to take atoms apart and put them together, but out of whatever it is that the universe is made out of, okay, you strike a piece of it, and you get an electron and a positron. If you can take that positron and, oh, let's say, wrap layers of the prime matter particles that the universe is made of, which are neutral or zero, and wrap them in those particles, you can get a proton. In fact, if you can wrap them in the 918 of them, which would be a cube with the corners cut off, then you could actually have a proton. And if you had a proton and you put it together with an electron, which normally it annihilates, it'll make hydrogen. And if you can do that, you can start making a lot of hydrogen. And when you do that, you can make hydrogen suns.
So what kind of mechanism within the Earth do you think is doing this? Do you think is this plasma, as some have proposed?
I think that the outer core of the Earth is plasma. It's about 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit. On the surface of the Earth, iron will vaporize at under 5,000. So it's very, very hot. And it's a plasma, which, of course, it has to be because it's so hot that the atoms can't get together. It's sort of like the core of the sun. So, and it's not as hot, but it's still very hot. And then you have to have a source of energy that creates a tremendous amount of energy and generates energy, which would be the inner core of the sun, of the Earth, which nobody seems to know exactly what it is, but apparently, according to Harvard, it rotates faster than the Earth itself by a little bit, which to me means, okay, you do that with an engine, you're going to get more energy if you rotate that inner core faster than the outer core. So you're going to get a tremendous amount of energy, and if that energy is there, when we talked about the positron and electron, that piece of thing that broke those two pieces in half and gave them the energy to become matter is a high-energy photon. So basically, you have to make high-energy photons. If you can make high-energy photons, and you have a universe filled with prime matter or pre-matter, which means that you have a matter that can go anywhere. In other words, it flows through your body, it flows through the universe, it flows through space, it fills space, but presumably if it is, as I describe, in-facing magnetic fields, very small in-facing magnetic fields, then inside of the Earth it's available all the time. So Carl David Anderson experiment gets repeated over and over and over again inside of the Earth, and what happens is the particles travel the electromagnetic lines, which are part of the interior of the Earth.
I'll tell you what, hold it there, yep. And quick break, we'll be right back.
Sure.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. We're joined by Neil Adams talking about the growing earth. So yeah, Neil, to wrap up with your position on, you know, the mechanism for expansion, then I want to get into talking about other bodies in the solar system, because sure. This is where it really gets interesting.
The thing to understand is, and if there are any physicists listening, really, guys, I've gone into it, and it's a very solid theory. I know that, you know, you're thinking the math and all the rest of it, but it all holds together. And what it provides is a theory that makes everything equal, negative and positive, not only in energy but also in mass.
And that's we got a professor on the line from Harvard. He's really mad. No, yeah. I'm only kidding.
I'm sure.
Hey, anybody wants to call in? Questions, comments for the guest? 800-313-9443. But go ahead, Neil.
Anyway, the thing is that it took me 35 years. I thought it was going to take me a couple of years. I thought I had it after a couple of years, and I started to do a graphic novel, the one I talked to you about. And then I read it myself, and I said, nah, this Neil Adams is full of crap. He better explain this better. Well, I did continue my studies, and it took me 35 years to do it. And I finished it, and as I finished it, I realized, hey, technology has now put computers in my hands. So I can take what it is that Sam Carey saw and thought, and what I realized from seeing a lot of the stuff, photos from NASA, and I can see things that perhaps other people can't see. So why don't I just take the animation techniques that the computers provide for me, work out a technique that will allow me to do this, and actually show people how it looks to see celestial bodies growing, what it actually looks like, so that if you say, well, you're just making it up or you're building a model in your living room, no. You're going to look at this. You're going to look at this stuff. I'm going to take actual photos. I'm not going to use any bad reference. In my work, I'm very disciplined. I have to be, because an artist can't afford to do something. And I've done stuff for amusement park rides, and I've done stuff for stage. I've done stuff that have to work, like an engineer. Okay, and very often my work entails a lot of engineering. So my attitude is very, very disciplined. I don't take, you know, drawings and turn and animate the drawings. I take photographs from NASA. I take the stuff that's supplied to me by the best sources, and I'm very disciplined when I move the stuff. I don't, you know, fudge it and flex it around and try to turn it into something. You can see from the animation of Europa, for example, I just take pieces of photographs and slide them together, and they fit. And that's my approach to doing this. What's happened is that my studies have led me to a time where the computer has become my pencil, and I can now show people what I've discovered.
Right. And like you said, when you have something that fits like a glove, it explains everything. Everything can be explained in that context.
Right.
And there's no loopholes. It's just, you know, visually, when you look at your animations, I mean, that did it for me. I only just came to this understanding less than a year ago.
I
found your website, and I actually first became aware of it reading a book. And at first, you know, I just totally snubbed at it, and I'm like, right. Yeah, right.
Of course. And that's a normal reaction, and I understand it perfectly, you know. And when I told people, even in my studio, people who work for me, they kind of, you know, we have a pretty comfortable studio. People were turning their nose up at me, and when I said, yeah, but I've been studying this for 35 years, and they, well, why didn't you talk about it? Well, because I didn't know the answer. But we're going to do animations now. We're going to do things, and we're going to take the Veils Marineris on Mars, and we're going to close it. We're going to show the tectonic plates on Mars, and we're going to show how they fit together. We're going to take the moon, and we're going to show how it fits together. We're going to take any celestial body that we can see, and we're going to animate it. If we can't see it, we're not going to animate it, okay? But we can take the ones that we can see, and we can animate those, and find out where the surfaces on those bodies fit together, and just pull them together. That's all we're going to do. We're going to do it precisely. We're going to do it with precision and integrity, and that's what you're going to see in the animations. There's nothing, no fudging. There's no sliding between things. You can look at it. You can see that it's in focus. The Veils Marineris got some fuzzy edges on it because of the techniques, but essentially it all moves exactly where it's supposed to be, and when you look at it, you see, oh, my God, it fits together. It does, and I felt very, very strongly that if I had to fudge it, that theory was wrong. If there was 1 minute in all the time that I did this, if I could find one crack where I could say, hey, this isn't working, this isn't, you know, and without finding any rationale for it working another way, then I would say, okay, the hell with it. I don't need this theory. I have a career. I have other things to do. It all works.
Yeah.
It's
funny. And we're going to talk some more about some of the other bodies, but we actually got a caller just called in. We got Stephen from Kansas. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Hello, Stephen.
Hi there.
Hi.
Are you familiar with the work of James McCanney?
Who? Oh, I'm sorry.
James McCanney?
No.
He's a physicist and an astrophysicist.
Uh-huh.
And he's come up with the theory of the electric universe.
Oh, yeah. I know about the electric universe.
Yeah, there's other people working on that.
Yes.
And
that's interesting stuff. That deals with plasma too, of course.
Yes. And I feel very strongly that the people of electric who are studying the electric universe concept are finding very good information and trying to put it together. I honestly think that it's a part of a whole theory, and it's not the whole theory.
Dr. McCanney
But they're definitely paying attention to something that's been ignored. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to commercial break. Stick with us, though. We'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you, because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody, because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Two-thirds radio. Your host, Charles Giuliani. We've got Neil Adams as our guest, and we're going to go back to our caller. I forget now. Did you have your question answered or your comment?
Well,
or?
I had some more comments. I had quite a few if I have some time to develop them.
Sure, yeah. You got a few more minutes.
Okay. Well, Dr. McKinney came up with a mechanism whereby comets will transport material from one planet to another through this. When the electrical discharge occurs between two bodies, material will be transferred, and thus, like Venus was a comet at one time, and when it passed Mars, it drew all the water off of Mars, and then because the material.
I think he's talking about materials being transferred to Earth.
I don't really think. You know, in all honesty, this kind of fringe group thinking does not...
See, a lot of this goes back to the ancient myths, which were just descriptions of what was going on in the sky.
No, and I understand that, but the truth is that I don't really get involved in that kind of fringe kind of thinking and non-scientific...
Well, a lot of your theories are based on if and what if.
No.
Yeah, well, you know, truthfully, I don't want to go down that road too far anyway, because I want to get talking about some of the other bodies in the solar system and signs of expansion.
Also, on the Earth, it could, your expanding Earth could be described by a hollow Earth, too.
Well,
when Tesla did experiments, he determined that the Earth was ringing like a bell. Now, if there was a hot molten core, it would not ring like a bell.
Well, I agree with that. There is no hot molten core. I believe it's a plasma core, and it essentially has no solids.
Yeah,
plasma's hot.
Huh?
Plasma's hot.
Yes, it is. In fact, the latest measurements that our scientific community has given us is 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 1,000 degrees hotter than the vaporizing point of iron.
Do you think there's like 6,000 miles of plasma? Well, what if
maybe not 6,000, because you then have the inner core, which has to be some kind of energy source type of sun-like object, which in all honesty, I can't define, and I don't know what it is, but I think generally everybody pretty much agrees that it's denser and has more energy than the surrounding outer core.
Okay, well, if you were standing at the very center of the Earth, what direction would gravity be pulling?
Well, I think that
it would be pulling outward in all directions. So therefore, there can't be any high pressure, super dense material there.
I don't disagree with you, unless that the inner core has its own pressure recreated as a layer after the plasma. But essentially, you're mixing things that I agree with things that I don't agree with. So I don't want to get into an argument with you about it, because.
Steve, one more point, because we're running short on time, and I want to give him a chance to talk about some of the other bodies in the solar system.
There's another book called God Star by Eduardo Cardona, and it explains how Saturn was a sun.
Pretty hard for something that grew.
Well, if you understand the electrical universe, then you can conceive of the fact that a planet could be a sun.
On the electrical universe. I disagree in general with it. I believe you could say electromagnetic universe, or you could say the plasma universe. I just think it's a very short version of an answer,
There's another point about time. Time is not necessarily constant through the ages. So when we put assign 50 or 100 million years to something, well, you already said that the day was 20 hours long.
Well, it was longer because the Earth was spinning faster.
So that means the length of the year was different, and the length of a million years was different too. And like when they do dating.
Carbon dating.
Yeah, or layers of ice. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean it was a year. And it's just like
An interesting point. Yeah, years would have been reckoned probably differently back then.
Except there was no ice back in the days of the dinosaurs, because the Earth was subtropical from pole to pole. So basically you're talking about radiocarbon dating. I'm not an expert in radiocarbon.
Yeah,
that's
another story.
I don't talk about things I don't know anything
about. But do you think
about.
The Earth orbited closer to the sun back then, or is it just that it was...
Well, that would be an additional part of the theory. The theory implies that as planets grow, the electromagnetic field grows, and the electromagnetic field is essentially the moderator of the orbits. It's a little hard for me to believe, and I would think for a lot of people to believe, if you think about it, is if you could have comets or meteorites striking planets that were in some kind of orbit, that orbit wouldn't eventually change, and that the orbits wouldn't be stabilized to be mathematical distances one from the other and from the sun, unless they were following some kind of predetermined path. If we conclude that the planets have essentially iron as 23% of their makeup, then the logic is that they would ride electromagnetic lines around the sun, unless you don't think that the sun has electromagnetic lines, which, since it's the biggest electromagnet in our solar system, I kind of suspect it does.
That would make sense. As the planets grew, if their magnetic fields grew, the magnetic fields could actually push their orbits further apart from each other. Yeah.
So that happens with the moons, and that's why everything stays so balanced in the universe, is because essentially you have one, in my opinion, one field. You have one particle that's a neutral particle. You have two halves of that particle, and you have the field that tries to either hold them apart or pull them back together again. And that's all. That's what everything is made of. I don't think that nature sits around and makes up particles. I don't think that quarks, I don't think there's a quark universe that sends vast amounts of quarks into our universe and says, oh, here you go, we've got some quarks for you, and we got some muons, and we have these things and those things. I think you have to be able to break down everything into, first of all, not three particles, but two, and then you have to break those two down into one, and then you have to have one force that motivates that when those particles are activated from the zero. So if you have a zero, it's neutral, has nothing, you turn that zero into minus one and plus one, then you have a field between them. If you stop your science there and say, okay, can we evolve a universe from that? I say yes, and I think you can. I can take every particle of our that we talk about, there's like 14 particles, and break them down into these two particles, which come from one particle, very simply and very directly, and one force. If that's the case, it's a very simple, very basic universe, and it's understandable, my opinion.
Right. Okay, Stephen, I guess we'll let you go for now because I wanted him to – we only got about 20 more minutes left. No, actually, about 15 minus the commercials. And I wanted to go off on talking about some of the other planets.
Steve, it's been a pleasure.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay, talk to you later.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Yeah, let's talk about you know, one of my personal favorites is Ganymede because as a kid I remember watching the images as they would come in and – I was intrigued, always glued to the TV set or looking in the newspaper, trying to get every picture I could get a hold of,
exactly,
that was coming back. And it always bothered me, up until I saw your animations, how to explain the bizarre features on the surface of that moon. You have these brown patches superimposed over a tan, light tan matrix.
Right.
And once I saw your animations, it just clicked. I'm like, I can't believe I never thought of that.
Exactly. Well, it's sort of like looking at Africa and South America, which, by the way, don't actually fit together, but that's another story. When you look at Ganymede, the one thing that does get you is it kind of looks like you could just kind of take your fingers and kind of move those pieces together.
Yeah,
and I had,
it's a puzzle.
You saw my first animation. The first part of the animation has a kind of fuzzy picture of Ganymede, and I had animated it because, of course, it made a lot of sense that it came together and everything seemed to fit, and I did it. While I was doing that, NASA had gotten one of their ships close to Ganymede, and they shot the whole planet, the whole moon. And they put it up on the Internet, and I practically fell on my butt. I mean, I had just finished animating this out-of-focus, kind of fuzzy Ganymede, which I show at the beginning of the video. And then, I don't know if that's at the beginning of the video you saw, but then I realized not only was it right, if you take the really good photos, you can see little pieces, little chunks fitting together. And they describe, NASA describes the older surfaces and the younger surfaces, and you can see that the older surfaces have more meteorite pockmarks in them. Everything made all the sense in the world. I'm thinking, my goodness, I've had this delivered to me on a silver platter. So we basically did that. We just took all that material and animated and allowed the darker pieces, the older pieces, to come together, and it came together 100% all around the whole moon. And if you look at it, believe me, the feeling that you got when you saw it, I think would be repeated by anybody who saw it. They would just you almost sit there with your jaw hanging open, and look at those pieces fit together, and you go, and then when it goes apart, you go, of course they're going to fit together when they come together. It's how could anybody think otherwise? If in fact there's enough of that. If, in fact, you can do a reasonable person can do that, it's sort of like, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, the chances are very good it's going to be a duck.
Yeah. I mean, that one did it for me.
That was stunning.
Did you look at the Europa? All you do is literally just shrink the thing down, and
right,
all
and
of those brown puzzle pieces, if you will, just fit right together.
And that's also the thing that we do with the Earth. I mean, part of the discipline of what we're doing here is that we're not fudging. I mean, it's one of the things that science does an awful lot is fudge. I found in my study over the years, is there a lot of fudging. They say, well, you know, electrons are
from the edges, and
yeah. Somehow, if I have in my film, in my video, I have the Earth, the continental plates on the Earth. Animated, and they had like 14 animations that were put out by the National Geographic Survey, United States Geographical Survey, and they were going back in time, you know, what the land masses looked like going back in time. So I thought, well, that's interesting that they did that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have my animators here in the studio. I'm going to have them morph between those 14 different pieces so that you can see, well, this was like this, so now you're going to take that and you're going to blend it with the previous one, and then you'll morph it to the next one, and morph it to the next one, so we can actually see the movements over time. Well, I swear it looked like silly putty. And it's in my video, if you go to the second section of the site. You look at it, and you realize these people, it's as if they're moving around silly putty and not granitic rock. It's one of the things that's you sort of have to register, because you're told by science, well, you know, this rock is flexible and it moves around and things can smoosh together and they can do this and they can do that. Well, it's just not true. Granitic rock can't smoosh together. It can't stretch. You know, maybe layers can slide out from under one another, but essentially, if you pull this apart from that, it's going to break off. It's not going to, and if you push it against, it's all going to shatter and pulverize. It's not going to do that stuff. It isn't silly putty. But they have these maps, and you look at them animate, and they just look like they're just somebody's pulling clay around the table. That's all it looks like. It's preposterous. It's almost preposterous. And I remember when I was a young artist in my early 20s, I was hired to do some of these maps for you know, scientific demonstrations and stuff. And I would say to the guys having me do it, I'd say, you know, you're making this plate go under this here, and there's a volcanic island here, and there's a continent over here. But that continent is 100 miles away from the volcanic island. You got it right next to it, and then you're popping up these volcanoes. It doesn't make any sense. That's not real. Are you sure you want me to do that? Look, Mr. Adams, just do it. This is where we're saying it happened. Just do it. It's a diagram. You're making me draw it realistically. Just do it if you want to be paid. It's sort of like, are you saying that light can travel through space and there's nothing there? What carries it? Nothing carries it. It's the wave particle theory, and write it down. And on Friday it's going to be on the test. And if you don't answer it right, you're going to fail. Oh, it doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, okay, so answer it wrong and get a failing grade. You're forced to deal with science on a very parochial level. You're not allowed to question.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's a very, very bad thing to deal with. I don't believe in that. I deal with artists all the time. We always question stuff. We always question the validity of things. And in a weird kind of way, maybe this ended up in exactly the right person's hands. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's better that I do it. I can read a book. I can understand this science stuff. It's not that complicated. Truly, it's really not complicated. They try to make it complicated, but if you go to the dictionary and you write replacement words for the words that they write in there, it becomes very, very simple and very easy to understand.
Well, throughout history, some of the best advancements were made by, the underdogs, if you will, going up against the establishment. And, of course, they weren't recognized.
I don't think I consider myself an underdog. I just consider myself...
The way society would view you, you're a scientific underdog. You're not one of the credentials.
Yeah. You know what? You don't have to give me anything on any of that. If the theory I'm saying works and it's the truth, that's all I care about. If it's not, then it deserves to be shot down.
But just sad that's how things work. You know, they don't view it that way. You know, they'll say, well, you don't have a degree. What do you know? Who are you to question? You know, we're not much better than the Dark Ages in that sense.
Well, in fact, that's true. If you consider all the things that have happened down through history, the worst thing that you should do to somebody who is in fact coming out of nowhere and presenting this is to criticize them on the basis of history, because that's a very, very bad basis. Because historically, the new ideas come from the people who are off on the side. I mean, Shoemaker Levy, these guys weren't even professional astronomers. They were hobbyists, and they discovered Shoemaker Levy. This kind of thing goes on all the time. And you know what'll happen is in the future when they write this in the books, they'll talk about it, and they'll talk about anecdotally. You know, it'll be, oh, and here's another interesting scientific thing. We wouldn't know this if it wasn't for some crazy, wacky comic book artist, writer who did blah, blah, blah. It'll just be one of those things. And I have to look at it from that point of view. Right now, all I care about is I want people to look at the videos, to discuss and to consider the theory. I want people to attack me. I don't care if they attack me. I'm exactly the right person for this job. Believe me. You can come at me with a gun. I'll still be standing at the end of the fight, and I'll still be ready to talk about the theory.
They'll stone you now and deify you after your death.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll tell you, because I'm a comic book artist, I'm actually, if you ask around, I'm actually a pretty well-known comic book artist. I'm not just one of the guys. In fact, very well-known. And I've had enough fame, and I've had the battle.
You know what? We got another quick break. We'll be back for a few more minutes, folks. Stick with us.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Got just a few more minutes left here with our guest. Boy, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. You kind of got cut off again there with the last break. Did you want to finish that up? And then I had another
thing. What was I talking about? I guess I was talking about the idea that this thing is in the right person's hands. I mean, because...
Right, yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story. Samuel Warren Carey was a noted geologist in Australia, very well known, and his career continued after he was kind of disgraced by losing this battle. But early in his career, when he was presenting this expanding Earth theory, which I, of course, call the growing Earth theory, he was invited to the National Geographic, the Royal Geographic, whatever that thing is in England, right? And being an Australian, of course, he was delighted to be a part of that because, you know, Australia, relative to England, they look up to England. So the Royal Academy of Geologists or whatever it was. So he was invited to join, and he was invited to speak. And he was honored, and he went to England to make his speech at the Royal Academy of Geology or whatever they're called. And he was about to begin his speech when some geologist in the middle of the room stood up and called him that word for children who don't have a father. Yelled it out. Now here is Samuel Warren Carey trying to present a scientific concept to the Royal Academy after having been invited there. Okay? Now, it's terrible to think that this could have happened, that a revolutionary like Sam Carey would have to go through this. But it gives you an example of the way things are treated by the people who believe in the standard way of doing things. It seems as though they should be the most civilized. It seems that they should be the most reasoning. And they're not. And I learned that early in my career in comic books, oddly enough, where there were things that were wrong when I entered the field, and I stood up and said, no, these things are going to have to change. I'm sorry. It's not acceptable to me. Original art has to be returned to the artists. Artists have to get royalties. We have to be treated with respect. Our rates have to go up. Things have to change. That was a battle that I participated in and a number of other battles, and every one of them I won, not because I was tougher or smarter, but because what I was saying was right. I wasn't saying anything that was off the wall. I wasn't saying anything that was strange and radical. I was saying things that were typically correct if you view them from stepping back and view them from a little bit of history. The things that I'm saying here are really not radical. All the facts are known. Everything is known. Sam Carey presented all the geology. There's nothing about the physics that I'm presenting that's strange or weird. You can't say that that these experiments don't happen. You can't say that there isn't antimatter. You can't say that the possibility of these things happening isn't there.
Right.
You can't say the sun
doesn't. Once again, folks, go to neiladams.com. Yeah. Check out the animations for yourself. I don't think you'll be able to walk away and disagree after you see them for yourself.
We're talking
the moon. We're talking multitudes of moons of Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus.
Listen to what this all means. What this means is that a tremendous amount of the things that we've learned, if the Earth grows, okay, just make that your first sentence, okay, which I'm responsible for proving, and I get it. I'm fine with that. But look at what happens after that, and imagine what the geologists in the 60s were afraid of. If the Earth grows, what that means is every planet grows. It means that every moon grows. It means that every solar system grows. It means that every galaxy grows. And it means that the known matter universe grows. And therefore, there was no Big Bang.
Got it.
Now that
okay, thanks again. I'm unfortunately we've run out of time. Okay. Yeah, the implications of this are very serious. We need to consider them. Thanks, Neil, for coming on. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Great job. Keep up the good work.
Have a good day, folks.
You too. Have a great weekend, or a great night, folks. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
With recent internet.